This is Madeline Davis interviewing Anita, November 16th?
Yeah.
1978. Okay. Got it. Now, we were talking about what you think that the people reading a book on this community or writing a book on this community should be interested in finding out. Or if there's something real special about your own life that you feel that people should know about. A positive thing, a negative thing, whatever.
I think probably the most important thing is treating people as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Same attitude that is taken towards women is towards lesbians.
You mean thinking that women are lesser?
Yeah, you still get that no matter how liberal attitudes are. They're still not up to par where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so?
Oh, sure. Have you found it more difficult? Your voice is really quiet, so I'm trying to bring this closer to you.
Okay.
Have you found it more of a problem that socially that you're female or that you're gay? Or are those, you know...
Well, socially, I'm more female. I mean, uh-huh. Who knows about me?
Uh-huh.
Not the men in the bar that I work in.
Uh-huh.
They certainly can't know about me.
Yeah. So you don't think that you present an outward image
of being gay?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Let's start, and I'll talk to you a little more about outward images, you know, and maintaining that later as we talk about things like role playing and stuff. But I'd like to get some, like, general background. Were you born in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about your childhood and who you lived with and...
Let's see.
How old are you?
32.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was born on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
The tail end of when Main Street was swinging.
Uh-huh.
Those were some nice times.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Two aunts, my brother, two cousins.
Mm-hmm. What was your mother?
She was dead.
Uh-huh. And your father?
He was in Mexico. He didn't come here until I was six.
Uh-huh. What did your mother die from?
Tuberculosis, meningitis, spinal meningitis.
That was when you were real little?
Yeah, I was about two and a half.
Okay, go ahead.
No, all the people in our families were black. Except for black.
Uh-huh.
Except my brother. Half of us.
All the people in your family were black except your brother. What does that mean?
No, my brother and I. Half of us.
You're half black.
Mm-hmm. Half black and half Mexican.
Your father is the one who is Mexican?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Did that present any problems for you living in a black community or living with a black family?
Not at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was older, but to move to a different neighborhood.
Where was that?
Master.
Yeah, I know. What kind of problems did you run into then?
People, other black kids, we're getting used to that idea of thinking that we were Puerto Rican, thinking that we were better than they were, stuff like that.
Because your skin was a different color?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Can you relate any, like, specific incidents that occurred?
Well, when we first... I came from
a family.
Well, when we were, my grandmother really protected us.
Mm-hmm.
When the neighborhood we lived in, she wouldn't let us out, you know, go out by ourselves. We always had to be with someone. We were all under 10.
Sorry.
We were all under 10. And she wanted us to go out to do service. And we moved into a neighborhood that was a little easier, better for us. So she thought. But the kids were into things. The first friends that I met were into lying, stealing, cheating in school. They were the first kids that I met when I went to that school. I didn't know anything. I was really green.
Yeah.
And because I didn't know anything and I refused to get into any of that, I got picked on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was your brother younger or older?
He was younger.
Did he get involved with the same kids?
Well, not the same kids, but that's why we call them Fleet Feet to this day. I just used to agitate and then run.
Fleet Feet.
That was a family joke.
Uh-huh. Something for the watch.
There's a poem.
Yeah. I had it last night. Oh, I got it. Okay. What grade were you in when you moved to Maston?
Fifth grade.
And you still lived with your grandmother and both the aunts in that neighborhood too?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what year are we talking about?
It's 1950. No, couldn't have been. It must have been 56, 55.
Uh-huh.
It's funny, the guy who was principal then was... he was a little pastor. He was sick. He was Jewish. He wasn't sick because he was Jewish, but he was sick.
It was
Axelrod.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
What was that?
What school was it? Was on?
That was school 8.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. What was that running? Maybe I should be seeing
this. It's all right.
It was years later when I got it. Do you? Years later when I got into college, I met his son.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. That's a story.
We'll get to that story. Arthur's been an interesting story for a lot of people, also for me. What are your earliest recollections of any kind of sexual training, advice, sex education, and where did it come from?
Well, my aunt says that my grandmother tried to tell me about sex, talk to me about it, but I don't remember. She says it happened. It could be true because I've gotten a lot of my earlier years.
Uh-huh.
But my grandmother would always say things like, give me warnings of, you know, things happening sexually. If you don't watch out, you know, you've got to always watch yourself. You know, you've always got to watch where you are. You've always got to watch other people. And that you can't trust anybody.
Or so, what would happen?
Or you'd get raped, or you'd end up a whore, or a woman would get to you.
So they did tell you about that.
Yeah, they told us about everybody. Yeah, not just women. But.
About how old were you when you remember it all, the being told of you?
I think I was told when I popped out. Those were the first words.
And you were told about women, the danger of women also.
Yeah,
real early. Uh-huh. How'd you feel about that?
Well, I felt like I didn't want to be a female. I didn't want to be called a girl. I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of bad. Because my grandmother, I think she thought that women were evil and that they were the real nation of men, and she thought that men were lecherous. And she kind of thought both of them were bad.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't leave you much room, does it? Do you remember your first, like, sexual or romantic experience?
Actual?
Well, whatever you feel is actual, and people have different feelings about what a first kiss is, what a first touch is, like the first awakening of sexual feelings, and who were they for, and
my first real ones were romantic.
Uh-huh.
Were those in love.
Uh-huh.
Those are different. Sexual.
What happened first?
Sexual experiences, I mean, the sexual experiences. Because I was into sex before I was into what it was really about.
Oh.
You know?
Uh-huh. How old were you now?
I was old.
Couldn't be as old now.
17.
I was 19.
Were you?
Yeah, I was old. Really old. I didn't know what that was on. So you had your first sexual experience when you were 17.
Uh-huh.
And that was with a man or a woman?
It was with my high school English teacher. I didn't want somebody who didn't know what the hell I was doing.
That was male or female?
It was male.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting. How'd you get involved with your teacher?
Well, it was a year after I was in his class. I wasn't in his class that year.
Uh-huh. But you were still in the school?
I was still in the school.
Uh-huh.
And I think he wasn't in the school that year.
What high school did you go to?
East.
Yeah.
So, we'd been talking. Like the year before.
Uh-huh.
And I think the next year I run into the street or something.
Uh-huh. How did it happen?
Well, he invited me to his apartment.
Yeah.
High school girl. Uh-huh. Not wanting to get involved with high school boys.
Yeah.
The infatuation kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think also, I remember being conscious of rebellion. Because I still wasn't able to date. My grandmother still didn't give me permission to date. But I could go over to his house after school.
Yeah.
Without being missed.
Uh-huh. Did they know where you were? Tomorrow.
No.
Uh-uh.
No. Well, it just happened, I think, once or twice, and it scared me. So I didn't engage sexually for a long time. He was understanding me, trying to do it so that it wouldn't scare me. But it did.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't know.
What was like the next occurrence for you? When you decided it was time to begin again?
Well, it wasn't time. It was mostly being obliged to go out on a date with someone. Right. I was dating at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't even remember. It was either when I was dating or it was my piano teacher. But the English teacher wanted to know me. You know. He wanted to marry me and know me. I was naive, but I wasn't dumb. And the next experience I was on the
This was a male piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You were what, 18 then, 19?
Mm-hmm.
When did you start thinking of the possibility of women in your life, other than as friends?
Well, probably at the same time, because I first started thinking about them when I was putting them down. You know?
What does that mean?
Oh, how could they? How awful. And you know what your grandmother said to you? Let a woman get a hold of you, and you'll never be right again.
Oh, that's what she said?
Yeah.
Huh.
Then you go out of your mind if you let somebody go down on you. It'll drive you crazy.
How'd she know all that?
I don't know, I think it's probably what her mother told her. Because I don't think she knew very much.
So, advice against lesbians seems to have gone on for a real long time in your family.
Well,
and there's been a real awareness.
One of the things that she said was, if you let a man go down, that it'll drive you out of your mind, you'll go crazy. If you let a woman go down, you'll never be right again, that you'll never want a man.
I wonder why they felt that way.
There's been rumor in our family that her sister turned gay.
Oh, I see.
She's dead. Sorry about that.
She'd be good to have somebody to talk to.
She never talked bad about her in that respect. It's almost like understanding. I think my grandmother was in a lot of ways, because her protectiveness. She was afraid of a lot of things. But she said some things about my aunt when she was younger, some of the things that she's done, some of the things she didn't like her for. They were not close. But she's never really said anything bad about her in that respect. It's curious.
Now this is not one of the aunts that you lived with.
No, this is an aunt that I've never seen.
This is your grandmother's sister? And the aunts that you lived with are your mother's sisters?
Yeah. Her daughters.
Do you recall your first lesbian encounter or your first feelings of wanting one?
Oh, yeah. The girl I lived with. I was 19, 20.
Mm-hmm.
And she was with Mrs. Ames.
Where?
Children's.
Uh-huh.
And she was about 24, I think. She was like one of the first hippies or something like that.
Uh-huh.
She was just, I was really very strong and attracted to her. She had a strong, dynamic personality, but subtle, you know.
Yeah.
When she did anything she wanted to, the nurses would go looking for her and she'd still be sitting in the cafeteria. And she'd talk to them, and she'd have their minds just tripping over. They'd get so mad at her, but they didn't know how to express it because she could always talk. Do these psychological dances on their heads, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they just didn't know what to do with it. We'd do things like go out after work and stay up all night. But we would do that when we were younger. I haven't been able to do that for a long time.
Did you actually have an involvement with her then?
No, she didn't want to. She was afraid to. Because I'd never had any involvement before.
Had she?
Oh, yeah. She was bisexual.
Oh, I see.
And that's what... Talking to her was what sort of gave me positive thoughts about lesbianism.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never talked to a lesbian that I knew. And then I just made up my mind that that's what I wanted to do. Well, that's a pity because it was so hard. Especially when you're green.
Yeah.
So hard meeting anyone.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved with a man at the time?
No, uh-uh. I wasn't involved with anything.
Well, when did you finally establish, you know, a contact with a woman that actually became a part of it?
Well, I knew a woman who was older. This was a little later on. I knew a woman who was older, and rumor had it that she was a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
So, I just played the young girl with the problem
uh-huh.
and approached her with it.
Yeah.
And she was very understanding and opened herself up to me. And she was my first lover.
Mm-hmm. What was the age difference?
She was like 43. I was about 20.
Mm-hmm.
19 or 20.
How was that relationship? How long was it?
It wasn't too long. It wasn't really involved. I really didn't care a lot for her, and I don't think she did for me. It's just that she wasn't able to get out. She didn't get out too much. She didn't have lesbian contacts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't know anyone.
How'd you meet her?
We were in the hospital together.
Was she a nurse?
No, she had been a music teacher.
What do you mean you were in the hospital together? This was not somebody you were... I'm still going back to where you were a nurse's aide. Was that a different time?
Yeah.
In a different hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what hospital and what were the circumstances?
That's
a little
different.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, when I was 17, this is hard to talk about.
You can talk as much as or as little as you want.
Well, you really have to change my name.
Okay.
When I was 17, I tried to commit suicide. And then it was like the dam burst.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in and out for about 2 years.
In and out of where?
Minor.
Uh-huh.
Psychiatric.
Yeah.
And state.
Yeah.
That was a bad trip.
For depression?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Suicidal tendencies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There, I guess I encountered it because I remember being close to one other woman there. And they were putting her on shock treatment. And all this was in the reception building. I'd never gone over to the old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And she just started her shock treatments. And you know, we were just close. She wasn't too much older than I was. And all of a sudden, in the midst of her shock treatments, which was unusual for them to do, they transferred her into the old building. And then, before that, one of the doctors had approached me and asked me if this woman had been getting fresh with me. Has she been doing anything to me out of the way? She'd been putting her hands on me.
Did you understand what he was asking? This is a male doctor?
Yeah, but I didn't understand what he was asking.
Mm-hmm.
Not until later on.
Yeah.
Did I realize what was going on? Mm-hmm. What was happening? So, I guess that was one of my first encounters with dealing with it. Not for myself. I didn't deal with it myself.
Yeah, but seeing how other people dealt with it.
Seeing how other people dealt with it. Because I remember there were two younger girls there, too. And they were always together. They were cute. And rumor had it that they were lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
That they were lovers. I don't know how they dealt with it, but I know the girls ended up running away together.
Mm-hmm.
But there didn't seem to be anything wrong with them. You know?
Yeah. What kind of feelings did you get from the doctor or any other staff people about the way they treated lesbians there?
Well, it wasn't out front. For one thing, in order for you to see a doctor, you had to catch him. You want to get well, you better catch a doctor.
Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee it's going to get you well.
I don't know. I know there was one female doctor there that I felt close to. She used to let me kiss her, you know, hug her.
Mm-hmm.
There was another doctor, and this was at Meyer, who was scared to death of it. And she was asking me about it because I had. It wasn't an infatuation, but I felt as though she was motherly towards me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that kind of relationship. But then I realized that she was scared, shitless.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand that.
Well, you didn't think of yourself as a lesbian then.
No, no. I don't think I thought of myself as anything.
Yeah. Can you talk about that encounter with the older woman then? You met her at Meyer?
No, at State.
At State?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She had an ulcer, which I guess it was what killed her.
Oh.
Later on. Not too long, too much longer.
Mm-hmm.
after that.
Did you form your relationship at the hospital?
No. We just been sort of friends, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then you were released.
Yeah.
And how did the relationship end?
Well, I was going to this thing after. Well, after you released for self-help.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called.
I know what you mean. Like outpatient type.
Yeah, but it wasn't there.
Yeah, right.
And she was going to. I just went to a few meetings. Yeah. And we were there. And, you know, we'd call
each other
every now and then. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, go ahead.
Oh, that's it.
How did you feel after you finally slept with somebody for the first time?
Well, of course I was excited.
Was she the aggressor or you?
She was. But I wasn't. Real. I mean, I didn't fall in love, you know. I wasn't infatuated. And even at that age, I was pretty impressionable. But we had things in common. Like, there was a writing club at the hospital
mm-hmm.
that she went to, and another girlfriend of mine went to. She was into music, and she would talk a lot about music, which would just fascinate me. And she had some really good albums, classical music. That was the biggest deal for me in that relationship.
Was the things you learned from her?
Mm-hmm. About music.
How long did that relationship last?
It didn't last very long because I was in college. And she, you know, I started getting into things going on in college.
Where were you
going out?
You did?
State.
Mm-hmm. So did you go back to dating men? Or?
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't really date. I didn't really date until I met son's father in college. But I was sort of dating this one guy. And the whole thing there was just sexual.
Yeah. And you weren't involved with any women after that for a while?
No, even at that time. you don't dare let on mm-hmm. that that's what you would like. And even if it were, we wouldn't go.
So you didn't know anywhere to go?
No, there was one place I had heard about, but by the time I got there, it was closed.
What year is that?
That was, what was it, 60? Must have been 67, 68.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what?
It was on Eagle.
Oh, the Eagle Inn?
Yeah, I think so.
The Eagle Inn was on Washington.
In Washington?
Way downtown. On Eagle Street? One of the things that we're trying to get is some kind of chronological continuum of bars opening and closing.
Mm.
You know, which bars were going when. You know, and how many bars were open at what time, you know, at one time in what year.
What I had heard that there were like two
yeah.
at that time.
Yeah.
And I think they were both closed. And then the Casablanca opened up, and this, the TNTs.
The one
Niagara. Across,
oh, the TNT in Niagara.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Now that was right after.
That was right after.
You went to the bar that was closed.
Well, not right after.
Yeah.
Seems like it took a long time.
How did you meet the, you want to give him a name of some sort? It doesn't have to be the real one. But your son's father?
I'd always go to have lunch at cafeteria. The same thing every day. BLT on toast.
Mm-hmm.
And cold crab tea. And I'd go and sit there by myself because I was never very much for me, so it was always very difficult for me to get in and socialize. Because I'm really, really basically shy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was tall, he was handsome. And I thought to myself, well, I don't want to talk to this dude because he thinks he's cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know how good looking guys are. Well, that's how I felt. Real prejudice against good looking guys. And he just came over and started rapping to me. Each day he'd rap to me a little bit more. He really didn't sound bad either. And it wasn't real line. Then he ended up taking me to, asking me if I wanted to go to Pittsburgh to go to the zoo for Easter. So, sure. No, I think he'd asked me what I wanted to do for Easter. I said, I think I'd like to go to the zoo. He took me to Pittsburgh. I'd like to go to the zoo.
That's interesting. He's going to go to Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, a friend of his, a close friend of his, was going to Pittsburgh. She had family there.
Mm-hmm. So you went to Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
You went to the zoo.
Yeah, it turned out all right. I think we got there late, though.
And then you came back to Buffalo, or did you stay there?
No, we came back to Buffalo.
Wow, that's wild. So you started forming a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant that eventually a sexual relationship occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're how old at this time? 20, 21?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, did you tell him?
Yeah, I told him.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts his foot around and said, well, I guess we're supposed to get married. I said, no.
Mm-hmm. What did he say to that? And why didn't you want to get married?
Well, I didn't want him to marry me for the reason.
Yeah.
The sake of having a baby. And there was nothing I could do. And I couldn't get rid of it. I never thought about having kids before. I thought I didn't want him before.
But you did decide to continue your pregnancy.
I decided to take the responsibility for
it. Uh-huh. Did you not want him to have any part in it, or?
I wanted him to include himself, to offer his part,
uh-huh.
Which he didn't do.
It was either I'll marry you or I'll leave?
Well, I'll stick by you, which he didn't do.
I see.
You know, like, he came to the hospital the day the kid was born and said, Well, I guess I better take care of the girl. You can't walk into any hospital, especially if they have a baby, if the girl isn't taken care of. They'll let you have a baby on doorstep. Not that bad.
If it isn't paid beforehand? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Have to. Sure. Oh. You have to take care of it.
Uh-huh.
Before you go to have a baby. Especially if you're being taken care of by a physician. You make the arrangements.
Uh-huh. So, what do you say to that?
I told him I already did. But I think I crushed his manhood when I said that. The bill was already taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Now, who were you living with at the time that you had Michael?
My aunt, my grandmother, my uncle,
uh-huh.
and my brother.
How did they feel about your pregnancy and the baby?
Well, of course I wasn't supposed to do that, but they accepted it, you know, because that's just the way my grandmother is. My grandmother's mother. We keep all of our children. We love every one of them, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go and have an abortion. You don't give your kid up. You just can't do those things.
Do you think that has anything to do with you're coming from a black family?
Oh, sure.
You think black families do that more? Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't know enough about white families or all different kinds of white families, but does it seem to be traditional in black families that
mm-hmm.
if that kind of thing happens?
Yeah, that's a real thing. No reflection on you, man. But that's a real fear about being with a white person, a white lesbian. Because it's the giving up of those that you love. I'm not saying that it's wrong.
No.
Or that it's right the way we do it, because my grandmother, we took care of her until she died. And if she'd come out of the hospital after being comatose for 10 days, we would have taken care of her. It was a real strain. And we were so glad when she died because of the agony that she was going through, the agony that we were going through. But you just don't. Do that.
Black families take care of their own, no matter what.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And has it been your experience that at least the white families you've been in contact with don't have quite that same feeling?
Well, it's been that experience.
Yeah.
Depending on. Well, I guess I'm just talking about my recent and personal experience.
That's fine.
Which is scary. Or maybe it's just Virgos, you know?
Whatever. Yeah. I know you're not speaking for everybody. You haven't met everybody, so.
Right. Yeah.
But it is interesting to know what your recent experience has been, so.
Well, they'll be getting into her family background, which is pretty lengthy.
Yeah. Well, let's, I am interested in, in the part that you had in that. Or the part that you experienced of this is your most recent lover's
mm-hmm.
family. Okay.
Oh, you mean in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Their family?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just that, I guess her mother had her thoughtful kids. They all grew up in separate homes. Kids were given up to relatives to take care of them. They didn't have this care. And even now, she isn't that close. She's just begun to know one of her sisters. And she doesn't really care to even know the other sister. Her other sister has gotten in contact with her. Which is strange to me because I think I'd be excited.
And that's a real alien kind of thing for you to have experienced, since your family was so close.
Mm-hmm.
And the families that you grew up with.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's better. Because she's
right,
come out to be very independent.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I'm not.
Okay.
She can survive alone. Me, that's me.
You seem to be surviving.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, let's go back. I think this tape might run out fairly soon. Let me see how much we've got. We've got a little bit more. I'd like to go back to after you had Michael, and what happened to the father then? He disappeared?
He disappeared in and out. You know, I couldn't afford to raise two boys. I was just learning how to take care of one.
Yeah.
And I wasn't about to. I just thought that he should have had an equal responsibility in caring for the child.